This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
As bank scandals get bigger, is it time for banks to get smaller?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It appears more of the world's largest banks are getting roped into allegations of fraud. According to the Financial Times newspaper, four big European banks have joined Barclays in the not-so-prestigious club of financial institutions being investigated for rigging that benchmark lending rate called LIBOR. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has the latest from London.
Regulators are now reported to be investigating HSBC, Deutsche Bank, Societe Generale and Credit Agricole. The Financial Times claims that all four banks are suspected of being in league with Barclays. They're thought to have conspired to manipulate the so-called LIBOR, a London benchmark for trillions of dollars of financial transactions. Meanwhile, moves are afoot to reform the LIBOR system. Fund manager Justin Urquhart-Stewart says that could mean taking it away from London.
This rather archaic mechanism operated in London has always been under question because it was open to abuse, and lo and behold, it looks as though it has been abused. And therefore, people will look and say, well, should we leave it in London or not?
U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner has made his feelings plain. He said LIBOR reform should not be left to the British because they'd failed to address earlier concerns about the system. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, of course, the LIBOR scandal comes on the heels of the monster J.P. Morgan trade gone bad, which has already cost the bank billions of dollars. And that comes just a few years after the subprime mortgage collapse, in which nearly all the big Wall Street financial institutions took outsized risks, which were deemed too big to fail. The banks were. So what can be done to keep these problems from happening? Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Chris, it's just scandal after scandal from these big banks. What can be done about this?
Well, I think we need to break them up. I really do. And there's a simple way to break up the big banks, and that is to dust off the 1933 Glass-Steagall Act. It's a very, you know, short piece of legislation. And it's, you know, most of us are pretty familiar with it. We're comfortable with the notion that, you know, we're going to separate this investment banking and this trading from institutions that take deposits from you and me. It worked for about 60 years.
Well, what about the argument, though, that some would make that if we break up our banks, there are still going to be these behemoth banks in the Netherlands and Switzerland and the UK that will be doing investment banking and consumer banking and will just be at a disadvantage?
I don't see the problem. Because that was true for most of the post-World War II era. I mean, the universal banks of Switzerland and of Germany. And, you know, the U.S. grew to be the largest economy in the world. But we had a banking system that largely supported Main Street rather than Main Street having to support or do what happens to the financial system.
Well, did we miss our opportunity to do big banking reform like this? I mean, we've already passed the Dodd-Frank financial reform law, Chris. That was a hard thing to get through Congress. It's very complicated. Didn't we miss our chance to do another big redo of Wall Street banks?
Jerry, I'm not laughing at you, but I'm just sort of thinking, okay, now look, we went through the whole Lehman Brothers collapse. You know, now we've got the J.P. Morgan and its trading losses. Now we had the LIBOR scandal. I mean, here's the thing. The banking industry is going to give us plenty of opportunity to embrace reform again. And what I would urge is let's make the change now before the next big scandal.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks as always.
Thanks a lot.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in overseas trading this morning, up 0.8% in Tokyo, 0.2% higher in Paris. Here in this country, we got two big corporate earnings reports after the markets closed last night. One from IBM, which generates about 60% of its revenue outside the U.S. IBM's revenue for the quarter fell short of expectations, but the company raised its forecast for the year. And eBay says its profits more than doubled last quarter. The company says it is making more money from PayPal, which it owns. Today, we'll hear from Microsoft. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 103 points to close at 12,908.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
In Washington this week, lawmakers are considering some ideas to make college more affordable. But far from the Capitol, more than a dozen top-tier universities are signing on to a plan that will make college more affordable. They'll be offering some courses online for free. Elizabeth Wynne Johnson reports.
They're called Massive Open Online Courses, MOOCs for short. And if you can get an education online for free, why would you pay $50,000 a year in old-school tuition? Won't colleges have to lower tuition to compete? Professor Siva Vaidyanathan says no. He heads the Media Studies Department at UVA.
There's nothing about any of the current experiments in terms of online course content delivery that comes anywhere close to real education.
Carol Twigg is president of the National Center for Academic Transformation. Most MOOCs don't count toward a degree, and she doesn't see top schools changing that anytime soon.
If they open that university up to the world for credit and degrees, suddenly that devalues their exclusivity, if you will.
In fact, Vaidyanathan sees MOOCs as a marketing tool that will actually draw more students to brick-and-mortar campuses. I'm Elizabeth Wynne Johnson for Marketplace.
And finally, be careful what you agree to. The town of Mittenwald in eastern Germany lent Berlin 400 guilders back in 1562. The money was supposed to be repaid with 6% interest a year. It never was, and somebody kept the receipt, which was just found in an archive. According to Radio Berlin Brandenburg, the debt now adds up to $136 million. But when you adjust for compound interest and inflation, it's in the trillions. That doesn't look like Berlin is going to pay, but if it does, I think the European debt crisis just got a whole lot bigger. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.